Hello. Welcome back to Journey, the podcast where we share philosophical gems, short stories, tips and tricks to do with mindfulness and setting our mind right to get absolutely everything we can from our days. A lot of the times we share analogies, metaphors, things that I've seen throughout my day and that have helped me connect to my purpose, and using my creative juices to try to connect what is troubling my mind to the world around me to find a way through. I often get to a place where I go, you know what? I'm a little bit lost. But if someone else has made that path before, surely I can make my own. And so by way of metaphor, analogy, creative connection, I can rewrite the story in my mind. And those stories are my page of days, which come out of the journal. And then I share it with you. The greatest stories, which are the short stories. And I know I've been skint on those of late, and I apologize. But there will be a whole bunch coming out very soon. We've been rehearsing like mad for an upcoming play with Black Swan Theatre Company. And also a couple of other wonderful life goals that I'm chasing at the moment. So I've had to focus on just getting these great episodes out while I put my focus on, you know, getting the play up and running and serving that as best as I can. Because there's nobody else producing this or helping me out make it. It's all from the tiny treehouse, and it is sweltering today. It's a beautiful 32 degrees here in Perth. So I'm not going to rush this, but if you hear me sweating in the corner, don't be worried. But the other short stories are ways that I've connected to bigger problems where I'm dealing with loss, or I'm talking about how to let go of certain things in my life, or how to change and collecting that different personas of change that we have through our lives. After all, our bone marrow changes every 7 years. And so what happens as we get older is we change our personalities. And how do we carry all of those forward without feeling like we're killing ourselves off? And all these other little stories and connectivity points are things that I've written about and share on the podcast. If this is your first rodeo or rodeo, depending on where you live in the world. But today is a very special episode. Today is part three of the four-part adventure seeking into the 20 hours of silence that we did recently for 20 Talk, the youth mental health charity, and indeed adult mental health charity as well, based out of Perth, Western Australia. And we've had a bunch of sponsors come out and sponsor these episodes as they've been put out. And I'd love to thank the wonderful Brooke Turner, my beautiful sister, who has a fantastic page over at Brooke Turner Balance Fitness and Nutrition, where she covers absolutely everything to do with pre and postnatal health, nutrition, exercise and awareness. She is an award-winning educator and trainer, and indeed one of the greatest minds that I've ever had the chance to know, and I love her dearly. So Brooke, thank you for the sponsorship of this episode. And secondly, to our second sponsor, Mark McCaveney and Nicole Barlow. Thank you very much indeed for your sponsorship of this episode and our fundraising efforts that went to a total of $2,155 in raising funds for 20 Talk. The 20 Hours of Silence challenge was pretty straightforward. We spent 20 hours in total silence with nothing but three meals, a bottle of water, our journals and a chair and a little small mattress that we could roll out on if we needed and wanted to sleep, in a 2x2 meter square on the ground, surrounded by 19 other individuals doing the exact same challenge in this big warehouse in Fremantle. Now, if you'd like to know more about the setup or indeed my challenges and my journey through that event, I guess it was, head back to part one and two and catch up on what exactly it was like and my own experience, because everything of these episodes are informed by the experiences that came before. Because the eightfold fence is what we will be focusing on today. And also, I'm going to talk about Stanislavski's three circles of attention, which is a very old acting technique from the Russian master Konstantin Stanislavski. And we trained in the Stanislavski method at the National Institute of Dramatic Arts for 3 years while studying other methods. But it's still the one that I use the most in terms of what I do when I'm performing live or how I create my characters. It's very detailed. as is the Eightfold Fence. And there's a lot of room for interpretation and creative attachment. But it was strange that these two ideas came to me within the last 2 hours of the 20-hour challenge. So head back and listen to part one and part two, if you haven't already, and catch up and join us here at part three. Okay, so the Eightfold Fence. Now, I'm going to go into the history of it a little bit and then talk about why it came up at a point during the challenge, and then introduce the Stanislavski method and my own interpretation of those two molded together. And it's really exciting. One talks about hiding inside of yourself and finding a place of strength, silence, conviction. And the other talks about being hyper-aware of those around you. And so I found this middle ground for them both that I really enjoyed. But basically it came about because at the very end of the evening, all 20 of us participants and maybe the three or four volunteers we had there, including the fantastic Leighton Bradfield of 20 Talk, and we started discussing as best we could at midnight on Sunday after spending 20 hours in total silence. You get in a group circle and they go, let's talk. And everyone goes, do I want to talk? I just got comfortable with really being silent, and I actually don't want to be voicing too much of what's in my head. Some people had just woken up from a 4-hour sleep and were totally wiped and had no idea where they were, and I had friends and family coming to pick them up. So the fact that we did this circle and everybody started kind of sharing ideas, maybe there were 6 or 7 ideas shared around the circle from different individuals. And I said to them, it's very strange because I don't often watch TV, which I know is weird. I'm an actor, a performer by trade. I don't own a TV. But when I do, I want to be connecting to stories that mean something more than just a character challenge and a character arc. I'm looking for stories that transform the way I think. I'm looking for stories that help me escape into a different mode or different period of history and connect me to a different way of life that will inspire me to maintain my own sense of education, step out into the world, ask more questions, know more about that period, steal something from that character's philosophy and put it into my own way of life. Because that's what I believe, not entertainment, but that's what I believe storytelling is all about. I'm strongly convicted about that. And so Shogun, the TV series, has started airing on Disney, and it is incredible. It is absolutely amazing. Now, the James Clavell book was a favourite of mine, and I can remember renovating and taking care of a backyard for about 3 months. It was a huge backyard. I tore it to pieces and renovated it totally. And over the course of those months, I listened to the book. It takes about 48 hours to listen to, so I'd listen to it on and off. It was crazy. But the journeying into the philosophy of the Shinto period and Edo period and 1600s Japan was incredible. The way that they treated each other, the way they treated their lords, the way they treated their loyalty, their fiefs or fiefs, as it were, in terms of what they were able to get because of their hard work and loyalty. And so I stole a lot from the book, and I put that into the way I work with my team and the way I work with my collaborators when we're on a project. The more loyal we are with each other, the better the project will be. The more we concentrate on strengthening our relationships and collaboration, the bigger our fief is, or our fief. I know I'm mispronouncing it, so I apologize. But the bigger the return will be from the investment of our soul and our loyalty to each other. And so just before I jumped into the 20-hour silence challenge, the episode 4, I think it is, of Shogun, the Eightfold Fence, came out. And I'd totally forgotten about how Mariko, the character, had referenced this poem in the book. But in the TV series, it's depicted in this incredibly gentle way at such a highly intense moment that's just incredibly scary for your main characters. You don't know what's going to happen to them. But this person who is known for her use of words and poetry recites this poem, and tells the story of what it is and how it means to be hidden inside your own soul and concealing your motives, outwardly appeasing and inwardly just hiding yourself and getting by, even though the most horrific terrors are going on outside of you and your dreams are being crushed in front of your face. Can you find a way to stay connected and stay present in the moment? And this character said she stayed behind her eightfold fence. And so, let's talk about the eightfold fence. It is one of Japan's first ever recorded poems. It comes from a book called Kojiki, which translates to Records of Ancient Matter. It's a book from 712 AD, right? It's the first written accounts of mythological legends and biographical accounts of historical figures from ancient Japan. It tells the creation myths of the islands of Japan, the origin stories of the deities that take care of them, very similar in nature to the Rainbow Serpent or the Dreamtime and those Australian Indigenous stories that we're so lucky to have on this country. But it was a marriage poem, and it reads like this. An eightfold fence I make. An eightfold fence to protect my wife. The eightfold fence of Izumo, where eight clouds rise. And it was written by the stormy, unpredictable god of the sea, Susanoo Mikoto. And I apologize vehemently to anybody who speaks Japanese or who is of Japanese heritage and culture, and I know that I'm going to mispronounce a lot of these things. I've written them phonetically as best as I can, but bear with me, and I thank you for your grace and understanding. But the stormy, unpredictable god of the sea, much like Poseidon in the Greek mythology, was the son of Izanagi, who was the god of all creation in Japan, to have created the islands of Japan. He was from that family of gods. His siblings were the sun goddess and the god of the moon. And Susanoo was called upon to protect this young family. This many-headed beast was attacking them, terrorizing them, devouring their daughters. And they came to him on their hands and knees, begging for him to protect them. And so, Susanoo asked for their only remaining daughter's hand in marriage. Now, as he took off to battle the beast, he wanted to keep his new bride as close as possible as he could to him. He adored her. She was beautiful. And she knew that she would be protected by his side and hoped for his success. And so, she was transformed into a comb, and he wore that into battle. And thankfully, he slayed the beast and went on to re-transform her back to a human being and then built her this palace, a fortress of safety, surrounded by a many-fold fence, the eightfold fence. But the translation doesn't do the true meaning of the ancient Japanese scripture any justice at all. Because in ancient Japanese writing, eight was used to signify and represent many, or from all directions. And so this eightfold fence is no basic protection. It's not a simple castle or a straight up and down fortress. It is a fence that protects from every single direction. The perfect place to hide. For brand new smitten lovers. A seclusion zone of peace, calm, and focus. Where you could fully be still, safe in the knowledge that you are protected. Now, the symbolism has been interpreted to mean a whole different range of things, but the two most famous interpretations are this, talking about the clouds. It's linked to the effect that maybe Susanoo was, at the end of his battle with the beast, raised his head to the heavens in gratitude and saw this beautiful layering effect of the different layers and levels of the clouds. And understanding that danger could come from anywhere, you would like to hide like a cloud, disappear into the many levels, perceptible but untouchable. Or, the second version is that threats can come from thin air. And so, he wanted to ensure that his bride, Kushinada, must be protected at all costs, and she was. But not only protected, because beyond the fortress, it was a private place, a haven. And so in the episode of Shogun, Mariko is standing and seating her soul behind her eightfold fence internally, keeping herself in this private place where no one can get to her, no one can see her third heart, her secret heart. And while I was thinking about it, I remember in the show they're talking about the attack on Osaka, which was, at the time, the stronghold of Japan, where the Taiko, his son actually, because the Taiko had been killed, but where his young son, who was to begin the inheritance of Japan, sat and was defended by a whole range of warriors and samurais and all these other clans as well. And I remember looking at the building that was there, and it's a historically accurate representation. And the castle is in the center, and then there's these square fences, like square layerings that go outside of it, almost like a maze of sorts, right? But you enter from one place, and you would circle around the castle, through each wall, until you got to the center. And so I started to think about the eightfold fence as a physical being. Now, if you were in the center of Osaka Castle, and you say you had eight layers of fence around you, eight layers of thick brick wall that was manned by incredible samurai warriors, all of different abilities and all of different specialities, but they were all there to protect you. You were sat in the center of the castle. And now, I want you to imagine yourself as the center of the castle. And you have eight layers of your other selves surrounding you. Eight layers of awareness. And for any threat to come inside and to harm you, to get inside that square, just like I was in my little 2x2 meter square at that time, they have to go through those eight layers. And so it's up to you to build this sense of awareness of the different layers that surround you, from your internal, from your heart to your head, to your thoughts, to the way you verbalize them, to your actions, to your friends and family, to your colleagues, and to the world around you, and everyone as humanity. And so I started to think about that layering, and how indeed aware I am or not aware of those layers, of myself, of my own eightfold fence. And because I was in the very corner of the warehouse, I sat there, and in front of me I could see 19 other individuals. And I imagined looking out across the corner, looking out across the warehouse from my corner, that behind me was the exact same image. And I saw each of those individuals as representations of myself. Each of them was a warrior, designated to protect me from external threats or from things that I didn't wish to occur. Behind me, to my left, and to my right, the same picture was true. They were all doing different things, but they all represented me. And I started to wonder, if I had that amount of awareness, that many eyes, that many arms, that amount of heart and muscle and capability, imagine what you could do. And I know it's a big creative thought, but I started to think that all those things were possible. And yes, I did spend 20 hours in total silence in a square that was no bigger than 2x2 meters on the floor, so I was having some wild thoughts, but bear with me. We've lived all these different lives. We've experienced all these different things throughout that time. We've created different characters, faces, as we've walked through different jobs or different things that have required different things from us, whether we help a friend or we challenge a stranger. We challenge ourselves for our goal. But look outside yourself. See if you can build your own eightfold fence. Now, here is where Stanislavski's three circles of attention comes in. Because on a smaller scale, it's much more achievable. And it's also something I do daily as a performer. But it bleeds into this idea of the eightfold fence. And I think it's where my interpretation of the poem came from. In Stanislavski's acting method, he would focus on truth over performance. It was all about the truth of the character, the truth of their circumstance, who they were, where they were coming from, and where they wanted to go. That was all that mattered. And there's a whole slew of questions inside of his technique, and you would literally fill journals on your character before you even got to rehearse. But it was all about creating that sense of truth so that before you got onto the floor, you'd done this story and this back work, get onto the floor, you throw it all away, you know the truth, it's yours. You don't need to perform, you own that information. But the three circles of attention talks about the radius around you, where you are, talking, moving, or in total silence. It's all about your awareness of yourself in the space around you. So the three circles, and these are my interpretations of it, is that in performance, it is of you. As actor, as individual playing a character, the first circle is you. Wholeheartedly, your being, your physical connection, the amount of tension you hold in your body, or if you're being easy and flowing, having awareness of that so that you know when you start to trip up or run out of steam that you can at least be aware of where you're going and how best you can bring back your energy or how best you can fuel it. The second circle is the other, because we don't act in a vacuum. We're talking to somebody on stage. We're trying to achieve a goal or an ambition through another person. Everyone's goals is seated in the other. You're kidding if you think that the only thing you need to overcome is yourself to achieve what you want in this life. Because you might do that, but essentially you're going to have a conversation with someone that you need something from. And so, the second circle is on the other. Your collaborators, your co-stars, and your crew. The third circle of attention is the auditorium, the audience. And not just the audience, my friends, but the back walls, right through those back walls and into the streets. Because the idea of theatre is that it not only permeates the room that you are in performing, but it bursts open the doors and runs out into the streets. Whatever idea or character you're sharing on that stage is being shared with individuals who live in this universe. They will be walking out of that room and sharing it with others. It affects them. It affects the world we live in. And so, yourself, your co-stars and collaborators, and the world around you. And you need to have your finger on the pulse at all times while still trying to remember, you know, a 4-page monologue or 120 pages of dialogue. But that's the level of attention that came out of the Shinto period and the samurai period and the Eightfold Fence, and also classically trained actors. And so I linked those two together. I sat back and I thought about how, of late, before the challenge, I'd been racing through life. Absolutely racing. I'd just come back from a month straight in Sydney, visiting friends and taking meetings and doing everything I could to put my career first again and get back on top. And I realized that I'd forgotten about where I was, who I was and what I was doing, who I was affecting, what I was trying to achieve through my affects and actions and words and thoughts. And it was through this reminder of seeing all of these individuals and knowing that every single action I take has to move through all these different versions of me until it reaches the real world, until it affects the end goal of something that I want to achieve. I might have to become 10 different versions of myself to step through those 8 walls to then get to the end of where I want to be. Or if something begins to try to threaten me, I know that if I can maintain my sense of inner peace behind the Eightfold Fence or within my three circles of attention, I can stay focused on my goal, because it needs to come through my Eightfold Fence. It needs to come through all these different versions of me to get me, to make me unfocused, to shift my perspective, or to unsettle me. And so I hope the Stanislavski Three Circles of Attention and the Eightfold Fence were helpful. I thank you for joining me on what was one of our maybe more technical episodes, talking about numbers and metaphors and merging things together. But it's something that I really enjoy. And when I shared it with the group, I shared the Eightfold Fence as we were leaving at midnight on Saturday. And everyone really thoroughly enjoyed the idea. And I still had a bunch of individuals from the group messaging me a couple of weeks later going, can you tell me the poem again? Can you tell me the story again? I really want to connect back to that. And so this episode will exist in perpetuity for you to lean on at any point in time when you need an extra hand to consolidate focus, to bring you to a sense of calm or strength or private peace in a moment of madness, but also to remind you that when things happen on the outside or when things disrupt your focus, don't let it get through. Build these buffers, build these small fences between you and the outside world that aren't there to keep you unaffected, but are there to protect you so that you don't become unfocused, so that you don't become unsettled at a moment of crazed madness or when others try to get to you. Stay your course. But yeah, I hope it was helpful. I'm wishing you well, and enjoy the rest of this week wherever and however you choose to meet it. Part 4 will be live next week, this time, wherever and however you get your podcasts, and we'll be talking about 20 Talk, where the money is going, and what they hope to achieve in the future. But I'll also be doing a mini wrap-up about how I'm going about 3 weeks on from the challenge, or actually now, it will be a month once we get to that episode next week. So a month on from the challenge, how I'm doing, and also, I might share another little secret thing with you. Now, again, our sponsors for this episode were Brooke Turner, Mark McCaveney, Nicole Barlow, and I wholeheartedly thank you to everybody who has donated throughout this series. And just in case you thought I'd forgotten, I haven't. Last week's riddle was, you can lose me, but I'll cost you a lot. You may replace me, though I'll never be yours. You can share me, though I'm somewhat unique. I cannot be bored at a shop down the street. Did you get the answer? It is blood. But we've had some incredible guesses come through. And again, thank you for joining us on the podcast. And make sure, wherever you are, you drop a line and say hello. Head to my Instagram at JoelJacksonOfficial or leave behind an answer to the Q&A on the podcast, wherever and however you listen. Rate, review, like and subscribe, forward to a friend, or save it so that you can come back to it later. Sending my best, and thank you for tuning in. Talk soon.